Well, welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by Upstate Medical University and University Hospital. This is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. And if I use the term portion distortion, you may think of even the other term, supersized, the real point being that for many of us, we've lost track of the amount of food we eat. Well, Jody Kearns is a dietitian and certified diabetes educator at Upstate's Joslin Diabetes Center here in Syracuse. She joins us this morning to talk about portion distortion. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning.
Welcome back. It's been quite a while since you've been here.
Yes, thanks.
All right, tell me, what does portion distortion refer to?
The bottom line is that we eat too much food. The portions are much larger than they need to be.
They are. And, you know, I think of things like muffins. Oh, my gosh. You know, when we were younger, we used to get muffins that were little tiny things that grandma made in those little tins.
Exactly.
And now?
They're huge. Another thing that I can always remember as a young child going to McDonald's, you only had a choice of one little hamburger, one little package of fries. You can't get that nowadays. The portions are much larger than they used to be.
Right. Even on they've got those 99-cent menus, and they're still the size of a house, aren't
exactly.
they? Exactly. All right. We're going to talk about the effect on people with diabetes in a few moments, but this is really a conversation that applies to all of us, isn't it?
It is. We all eat too much, whether you have diabetes or not.
We do. And I really think that in many ways, it's like we don't even see the right size portions anymore.
No, because the only portions that are available are large ones.
They really are, when we go out.
Right.
But we're home eating, hopefully, many of our meals. That's a place where we can really have an effect.
It is, but a lot of people eat out, so it's hard to quantify the portion sizes when you're eating out. So hopefully if we can start to eat home a little bit more, we might get a better handle on them.
Well, yeah, and that's sometimes easier said than done.
It is,
and
indeed,
for a lot of very busy families, that's
mm-hmm.
right, that's right. But the thing is, now we go out and we order spaghetti, and spaghetti comes to us on this gigantic plate.
Mm-hmm.
It's full of all that pasta, which mm-hmm. a little bit of it is good for you, but a lot of
right.
it is not. And then we go home, and if we're making it home, we no longer have a sense of the right amount.
That's right. When you do go out like that, it's always suggested to bring some of it home with you, and what a good tip would be to put some of it into the doggy bag before you actually eat it.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
So because if the doggy bag's on the table, you're less likely to open the top and dig into it when you're at the table. So you can bring that home for another meal,
you know,
or two.
It really is a good idea because that's the problem. I mean, I don't have anything that will stop me. I'm sitting in a restaurant and I've ordered something to eat, and maybe I was out last night, I ordered a piece of salmon. That piece of salmon was huge.
Yep.
I ate every bite of the salmon. Now, salmon's good for me.
Right.
It still has calories. It still has calories.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't need that much
right.
of it. But I'm sitting there chatting away with my friend, you know, not paying really any attention, and then it's gone.
Well, that brings us to a point of paying attention to whether you're truly hungry or not, whether you're psychologically hungry or emotionally hungry. You know, if people are upset or distracted, like talking while you're eating, you can eat more than you normally would have.
We've talked on the show before about mindful eating. Is
right.
that the kind of
yes.
thing you're talking
yep.
about?
Yeah. Yep.
Well, talk to us a little more about that, because I think that's probably a really good distinction
well,
to make.
Well, you know, many times people eat because they're angry or frustrated. You know, how many times do you go to the refrigerator, open the door, and just kind of stare?
Yeah.
You're not really hungry, but you're just kind of staring. Or mm-hmm. if you look at commercials on television and you see a piece of pizza or a hamburger that makes you think of having something to eat.
Right.
You need to really pay attention to why you're actually eating.
You know, that's a really good point. I know, for instance, that I'm a stress eater.
Mm-hmm.
When, especially if I'm under stress, and then I have trouble sleeping,
mm-hmm.
and then when I'm not getting enough sleep,
that's
then I start.
Circle.
That's right. Then I start craving sugary kinds of things.
Yeah.
So that right, exactly, exactly. Well, give us some more of those kinds of tips if you can. Say, okay, now I ate this whole piece of salmon. Now what am I supposed to do about it?
Well, eating too much salmon is really not that bad for you because it is a nutritious food. So let's just say you ate too much pasta,
okay,
which is have a lot of calories, a lot
mm-hmm.
of carbohydrates.
And I've surprisingly done that too.
Well, I think we all have. One way to get around that would be perhaps to increase your activity
okay.
either that day or the next day.
All right. But I mean, like, now do I have to work out in the gym?
Well, whatever you're going to do, whether it's walking the dog or working out at home or at the gym, wherever you usually do your thing. The other thing is to not let it snowball, not let the fact that you overate at one meal ruin the next meal.
So it really is a balancing act in many
exactly.
ways.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about what the right size portion would be. If there's portion distortion, all right, and now I know that I don't even see food on the plate the right way.
Right.
So what is the right size? Say I want I want a hamburger.
Well, a hamburger, a good size would be like a deck of cards.
Okay.
One tip as far as the fat content goes is added fats should be no more than the tip of your thumb, like added fat, like margarine, mayonnaise, salad dressings, things like that would be the tip of the thumb. There is another website that someone could go to if they're actually interested in their exact portion sizes, and they can go to www.mypyramid.gov.
Okay. My pyramid, meaning it must refer to the food pyramid.
Yes.
Okay.
And you can plug in your age, your height, your weight, and all that good stuff, and it'll pop up how many servings of each different food group you should strive for.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, and that tells me what I should eat in a day. But
right.
Let's go back to that scenario where I ate too much last night. And you know what? Listeners are going, oh, yeah, I ate too much last night.
Well,
because they hear us on Sunday morning and they think, oh, I was out playing last night or I was out with friends last night.
I think that it's good to learn. In your experience, you learned that you overate because you were busy talking. You weren't paying attention to what you're doing. So
mm-hmm.
try to use it as a learning experience as to why you actually overate to begin with.
Aha. Uh-huh. That's a great idea. That's a really good tip. You know, I've also seen a hint somewhere that said, if you put your food, now we're back at home eating dinner, if I put my food on a smaller plate,
yes.
does it look like more? Does
yes.
it fool me?
Yes. Visually,
okay.
it does.
It does.
If you put pasta on a big plate, there's a lot of white, empty space showing.
Yes.
And it makes you think like you're not eating much. If you take pasta and put it on a smaller plate, the plate becomes full and you think, ah, I'm getting a big portion.
Ah. And
so
then
visually, that helps.
And then the key is don't go back for seconds.
That's right.
Or even thirds in some cases, right? So what we're trying to do, in effect, is retrain our brains. Our brains have been trained now to see these larger portions as being, quote unquote, normal. And now we need to redo our normal.
Mm-hmm.
This really feeds into a lot of what even Mrs. Obama is working on now, childhood obesity,
mm-hmm.
too, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Now, if I can just throw just a childhood comment in there. I had a 7-year-old who I was trying to help lose weight. And we talked about learning to eat when you're truly hungry. And at our second visit, she said to me, you know, I think about whether I'm really hungry. And if I'm not, I just turn and walk away.
Wow.
I thought, wow, that's pretty good for a 7-year-old who's trying to manage her weight. So if a 7-year-old could do it, then us older folks should be able to as well.
Because I'm substantially older than 7. That is for sure. That's great.
Yeah.
You really got
I
that far
very
with
happy.
Her.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have to think of this in terms, too, of our children and our grandchildren.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They mimic what we do. Are we supposed to learn from them now, or are we supposed to, you know, really set the stage for them making...
We need to set the stage because children can't go to the grocery store. Children can't choose the right kind of food. So they're relying on us to bring the right kind of foods into the house. So it needs to be a parental influence.
It does need to be a parental,
absolutely.
Just like anything else.
Absolutely.
As with the exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have to say that my husband and I got a Wii just about a year ago now, and we love it. We do. We get up after dinner each night, and we didn't used to do that before.
Mm-hmm.
He can't walk because he has some problems with his feet.
Right.
So he can't take long walks.
Right.
And so this is what we do instead.
Good.
And that really has been
good.
A lot of fun.
See, so you found your niche. So it doesn't have to be putting on the spandex and running down the street.
No, the spandex, oh, please, no.
Or getting on a bike. It's whatever you're comfortable with.
Yeah, it's exactly right. There are ways to get that exercise,
right.
And you can have fun with doing it. All right, let's switch gears now. Let's talk about diabetes patients, because this doesn't really change things for them. It just takes on bigger meaning, doesn't it?
Well, the person with diabetes, if they're significantly overweight, can have an increase in insulin resistance, which means that it is more difficult for their bodies to utilize either the insulin they make or the insulin they take.
Okay.
And so sometimes you can have obese people with type 2 diabetes on whopping doses of insulin. So it's always a good idea to try to help them lose some weight. And it doesn't have to be what they weighed in high school. Any kind of weight management, as far as weight loss, even 5-10 pounds is going to be helpful.
Okay. So you really do encourage them. It seems to me, and I don't know a lot about diabetes, but it seems to me that, once again, the answer is balance. They have to be able to balance these kinds of things.
Right.
And I also have to wonder, you can tell me, the whole weight management thing, I think that some diabetes patients might say, well, you know what, if I eat too much, they'll just give me a bigger dose of insulin and that will manage it. But it's not that simple, is it?
No, it's not. They really need to modify the portion sizes, and I think it's a matter of setting them up with a realistic meal plan. None of this is an all or nothing thing. It's not that you can't have this, you can't have this. And once again, it gets back to portions.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a great example of that. Again, I had a gentleman who had type 2 diabetes who, at our first visit, we talked about what he needed to do. He came back the next time and said, I gave up on my donuts. And I was like, wow, that's great. What are you eating instead? Well, I eat a lot of fruit. Well, fruit has carbohydrate.
Yeah.
So a lot of fruit's not necessarily the best. It was a big improvement in terms of quality of nutrition, but as far as the carbohydrate content, it was still a whopping dose of carbohydrate for him.
And that's what diabetes is a problem, metabolizing those carbohydrates, right? All right. But there's a bigger picture that I want us to make sure we mention. We don't have a whole lot of time left, but for a diabetes patient not managing this, this can be a matter of real quality of health and quality of life.
Well, it has an effect on their blood sugars, and their blood sugars can affect all the all their body parts.
As in?
Retinopathy, which are eye problems. Neuropathy, which are problems with the nerves.
Mm-hmm. And that's why their feet have to be checked quite frequently. And I mean, I've heard of diabetics at an extreme. They lose a limb because...
Well, if you don't have feeling in your feet and you don't check your feet like you do need to do on a regular basis, you could step on a pin or a tack or... I have some, you know, stories that I won't tell here that will illustrate that example. You need to be checking your feet.
Well, but beyond that, the whole point is if you can manage the blood sugar, if I understand correctly, if you manage the blood sugar and portion control is one way, exercise is another way, then you postpone those kinds of things or even they never happen to you.
Well, it all depends on what your glycemic control is. If you have good glycemic control, the complications of diabetes can be minimized.
They can.
And one way to have good glycemic control is to watch what you eat, watch your portions, modify your weight and exercise.
Yeah. So this isn't really just a matter of balancing things out. This is a matter of taking care of things for the long term.
Absolutely.
Very good. Well, Jody Kearns from the Upstate's Joslin Diabetes Center, thank you so much for coming by this morning. We've learned a lot about portion distortion and control.
Well, thank you for having me.
And listeners, we do need to take a break. Please do stay with us. This is Upstate's HealthLink on air on 570 WSYR.